When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Dirt Show. Before we get to Fulton County and the judge in the Trump case, also the judge who's presiding over the decision whether to disqualify Fannie Willis, before we get to that, I want to give out the Hypocrisy of the Year Award and the Chutzpah of the Year Award to the NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, who I worked with and I've worked with and filed briefs with and generally admire. What they did in the last couple of days is beyond belief. I'll read the headline. NAACP urges Black athletes to avoid Florida public universities over anti-DEI diversity, equity, and inclusion policy. So a little bit of background. Governor DeSantis, whether you like him or not, Governor of Florida, got legislation enacted saying that public universities in Florida may not spend money on diversity, equity, and inclusion. I 100% agree with that. Diversity, equity, inclusion is an abomination. It's anti-diversity, it's anti-equality, and it's in favor of exclusion. It's a major source of what's horrible about universities today. It's part of the program of intersectionality, the oppressed and the oppressors, and the oppressed are Christians and Jews. The oppressors are Christians and Jews, and the oppressed are Muslims, and the world's divided. That it's a horrible program. It's destroying universities. Thank you, Governor DeSantis, for getting legislation to get rid of it at Florida State universities. But the hypocrisy of Black leaders complaining that there's no DEI. You know what group is excluded from DEI? The one group that's entirely excluded from diversity, equity, and inclusion are Black athletes. Look at the lineup of basketball teams and football teams and other major teams at all American universities, and particularly in Florida universities. You will find no diversity. The teams are dominantly African American. If the situation were reversed and the number of people that were you know, if it was the opposite, it's just unbelievable. Diversity doesn't include athletics. When is the last time an NBA team or the NAACP asked an NBA team to become diverse? No, it's okay if it's 90% Black or 80% Black. That's fine. You know why? Because DEI has nothing to do with diversity. All it means is more Blacks, no matter how you get there, more Blacks. If you get more Blacks without having diversity because they're better basketball players and football players, that's great. If they're not as good in certain other areas, well, then we need equity and diversity and inclusion to make sure that meritocracy doesn't operate. So the NAACP wants meritocracy when it benefits Blacks in athletics, but it wants to eliminate meritocracy when it doesn't provide enough Blacks to fill their quota. So here's the deal. I hate to say that because it sounds like Joe Biden, but here's the deal. If you want diversity, equity, and inclusion, it has to apply everywhere. It has to apply to athletics. It has to apply to every area of university. You can't say athletics are excluded. If athletics are excluded, why not exclude mathematics? Why not exclude physics? Why not exclude music? Why not exclude law? Why do you get to exclude certain things? If DEI is so wonderful, if diversity is so great, why not diversify the athletic teams? It's because diversity doesn't mean diversity. Diversity means more Blacks no matter how you get there. That's all it means. If you get more Blacks by meritocracy, which is what I think should happen, and I'm perfectly happy to have 92%, 98%, 100% of any ethnic group on athletic teams if they're the best athletes. That's the goal. You want to win. But I want the same rules to apply to surgery, to pilots, to engineers, to architects, and to other areas of life. I want meritocracy to be as applicable off the athletic field as it is on the athletic field. And so NAACP, forget about my contribution for this year. I don't contribute to hypocrisy. There's another word for it too. I mean, it's unbelievable chutzpah. You know, I wrote a book by the name of Chutzpah. The definition of chutzpah is incredible gall. I mean, the example is a kid who kills his, like the Menendez brothers, a kid who kills his parents and then pleads for mercy on the ground. I'm an orphan. That's chutzpah. And for the NAACP to tell Black athletes, the most undiversified area of American life, no, you can't go to public universities in Florida because, God forbid, they may treat you equally. Instead of giving you equity, they may actually demand equality. They may actually impose diversity, which means having a student body and a faculty, which is intellectually diverse, not just diverse in terms of color, so that a 15% or a 13% quota of Blacks will be reached. We just have to stop educating our students in this manner of promoting hypocrisy. And it's so evident. It's so obvious. And yet nobody calls them on it. So congratulations, Governor DeSantis. Congratulations to the Florida legislature. Thank you for restoring equality and eliminating DEI. And no thank you to the NAACP for hypocritically demanding DEI for everything except areas where Blacks dominate. It really, unfortunately, shows the true purpose of DEI, which is nothing more than more Blacks and more people of the kind of ethnicity that you want to promote. It's just a mechanism for getting more people of a certain kind. It has nothing to do with the kind of diversity that universities should be looking for, which is more Republicans, more fundamentalist Christians, more people who support the Second Amendment. More Republicans? We have no Republicans among the faculties of any major institutions. I'm a Democrat. I'm happy with Democrats, but I don't want to teach in a school where 97% of the faculty are of one view. So, you know, sure, real diversity, I'm for it. Real inclusion, I'm for it. But inclusion means exclusion. Inclusion in DEI means no Jews allowed, no Asians allowed, no Cubans allowed. No. They're not to be included because they're oppressors. No, inclusion means only the oppressed. And, you know, DEI can't be understood outside the context of intersectionality. So that's my rant for the day. NAACP, forget about it. Forget about it. No longer can you count on my support for your concept of racial equity, because racial equity means the opposite of equality. It's the opposite of Martin Luther King. I have a dream. I was there. I have a dream that someday my children will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of that character. The opposite of DEI, that's my dream too. I want to make sure someday that all Americans are judged by the content of their character, by meritocracy, by hard work, and not by the color of one's skin. Obviously, we want to make sure we have real equality. We want to do everything to eliminate any discrimination. That's what the NAACP was all about. Not anymore. Now the NAACP is all about just more Blacks. That's all. It's just another lobby group for more Blacks. And how whatever means it takes to get to that goal is okay. If it means DEI, fine. If it means no DEI for certain areas, that's fine too. Hypocrisy prevails. Sorry if I feel so strongly about this, but I do. I've been fighting for meritocracy all my life, and I've been fighting mostly with the NAACP, not against them. but not on this one. On this one, we are completely on opposite sides. So let's turn to my favorite county in Georgia, where the judge in the, now it's, you know, it used to be the Donald Trump case. Now it's known as the Fonnie Willis case. The judge in the Trump case, prosecuted by Fonnie Willis, entered a decision today in which he struck six counts of the indictment on the grounds that the indictment itself doesn't provide sufficient specificity to know really what they did that was illegal. And in fact, I've read this indictment. I don't understand what's illegal about these six counts at all. I don't think they're subject to being remedied. One of them is, you know, Trump calls the attorney general or the state, the secretary of state, and says, we need to find 10,700 whatever votes. That's fine means maybe they haven't been counted, and that's not a crime. Other phone calls as well by Trump and by others, have the legislature have a new slate of electors. That's the way you challenge. That's the constitutional way. A lot better than January 6th to make phone calls to ask for constitutional remedies. So I think this whole indictment is deeply questionable. And I think the judge just touched the tip of the iceberg by saying, well, you know, there wasn't enough specificity. Go back maybe and do it again. I also speculate, this is entirely speculation. I'm not going to ruin my reputation for being a 100% accurate predictor. I think it was a talk show host recently who called me, oh yeah, it was 11, who called me the Nostradamus of the legal profession because I get my predictions pretty much straight. So I'm not going to put that at risk with this prediction, but I have a sense, just a sense, that the judge's decision to strike these six counts may telegraph that he's not going to disqualify the entire office. Because if you were disqualifying the entire office, the DA's entire office, I don't think he'd be making decisions about whether to count, strike certain counts. After all, he's supposed to make the decision the next 2 days, by Friday. So it doesn't sound logical that on Wednesday he micromanages the case and says to the prosecutor, well, maybe you can go back and reindict and be more specific. And then on Friday disqualifies the whole office. CNN just had an analysis with two local lawyers from Georgia, both of whom predicted the judge would not disqualify Fonnie Willis. One of them said, well, there's only an appearance of conflict, and that's not enough under the law. The other one said, there wasn't even an appearance of conflict. There's nothing wrong here. Well, what if two members of the DA's office marry each other? Well, what's wrong here is if they marry each other and deny it under oath, there's something very wrong with that. And what's wrong here is if the boss, the prosecutor, gets kickbacks for the $700,000 that she had her office pay her lover, kickbacks in the form of uncompensated travels to exotic places. Now, of course, Fonnie Willis says under oath, I gave back every penny. I did it in cash because, you know, we Black people, we keep a lot of cash. That's an ethnic thing. No, it isn't. My grandmother did the same thing. $20, of course, was a lot of cash for her in those days. But this judge should not just give them a pass and say, well, maybe apparent justice, but that's not enough. Fonnie Willis should be investigated and, in my view, indicted for perjury, obstruction of justice, conspiracy to commit perjury. She looked us in the eye, all of us, and basically said, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? You know, it's self-evident that she started her sexual relationship with her special prosecutor well before she appointed him. She appointed him while she was in a sexual relationship with him. That is as clear as day. I mean, these pings from the cell towers, I mean, has him leaving his house, getting to her house around 10, 11 o'clock at night, staying in her house until 4 in the morning, then leaving, and the pings have him going home and You have phone calls. Did he arrive safe? Didn't he arrive safe? You know, there are people on death row on less compelling evidence than that. And yet there are people on CNN saying, there's nothing here. Just why do you care about this? There's nothing here. There's no conflict of interest here. There's no even appearance of a conflict of interest. But again, you want to make money, listen to what CNN says, and then go to Las Vegas and bet the other way. And you'll make a fortune because they're always wrong. Now, I don't know. They may be right about this. The judge may not have the cojones to do what everybody, I think, knows he ought to do. And what he really ought to do is he's a judge. He ought to recommend a criminal investigation. He was there. He saw them lie. And he's a smart guy. You can't sit there and look Phony Willis in the eye and her boyfriend and her boyfriend's bought witness. Rented witness or witness who changed his testimony. You just can't do that and say to yourself, well, I really believe them. The three of them are telling the absolute truth. There are so many people in prison on less evidence than would be required to put the three of them in prison on perjury and obstruction and conspiracy charges. And if this is allowed to slide, it will just add so much distrust to the American legal system. And it would make me at least one more banana. The idea that a DA can get on the witness stand and lie the way she did and presumably get others to lie on her behalf, it's just such a disgrace to the American legal system that, you know, I hope the judge at least does something. I mean, obviously what he ought to do is disqualify the whole office, and then he ought to recommend criminal prosecution. He's not going to do that. The most I think he might do is find an appearance of conflict and say, although the law seems to suggest that you need an actual conflict, this is close enough, coupled with the appearance, that I'm going to disqualify him and maybe her, and you can proceed with the case. That's the most he's going to do. And after today, I'm not even sure he's going to do that. We'll wait and see. We'll know in a couple of days. And next Monday, when we come back here, we'll have an answer to that question. And I'm a little less optimistic that justice will prevail today than I was yesterday. But it's all based on speculation. I'm just reading tea leaves based on his decision today. It could go the other way. I mean, clearly we can't predict a particular, it's not like predicting the Supreme Court, because there are nine of them. And they have a history and a record. Predicting one judge's decision, and he can do anything he wants, basically, because he can make credibility determinations, and those are never overruled on appeal. But if this judge actually says that he believes Phony Willis and believes those two witnesses, that would be an absolute and utter disgrace, because it would be a lie. He doesn't believe them. You don't believe them. I don't believe them. But I've seen judges pretend to believe people who they know they don't believe. I've seen that over and over again. You get a cop on the witness stand who says, well, I was chasing him down the street. No, I didn't have probable cause. But he dropped the drugs, and that's when I arrested him. It's called dropsy testimony. And I've seen judges pretend to believe that. They know it's a lie. It's number three in the list of 10 lies that policemen tell when they know a defendant is guilty, but they know that if they exclude the evidence, he'll be found not guilty. And so they want to do justice. That's lie number three in the list of the 10 most common lies. And judges pretend to believe that. Now, let's see if this judge pretends to believe Phony Willis, because he does not believe her. I guarantee you he does not believe her. When he goes home and has a drink and talks to his spouse or whoever, he's not saying to them or to himself, oh boy, she really convinced me today. That was very compelling testimony. And oh, she paid him back every penny. We know that because she once picked up the check in Napa Valley and paid cash. That proves it. And what about the pings? Well, you know, who knows? Maybe they were playing Scrabble from 11 o'clock at night until 4 in the morning. Maybe they were discussing the business of the office. He was supposed to not even be in the office at that time, but maybe they were just, you know, just friends. No, 11 to 4 in the morning, that's not when people have sex. That's when people play Scrabble. If you believe that, you know, there's a bridge in Brooklyn that's for sale. But, you know, I'm so quickly losing faith in the American judicial system. This would just knock it down a peg. And you will hear from me if that happens on Friday. You will hear from me on Monday my strong views about where we are going if this judge in any way suggests that these three witnesses are telling the truth. Maybe he'll figure out a way of saying it's not relevant. That's just another kind of manner of circumventing. Look, I'm jumping to conclusions. Maybe he'll do the right thing. Don't bet on it. Okay, let's see what the mail looks like today. Oh, this is a good one. Professor, during Biden's State of the Union message, Steve Nkui, I don't know if I pronounced his name right, N-I-K-O-U-I, shouted out the name of his son who was killed by a terrorist bombing at the Kabul airport. Of course, we all remember that. During the U.S. withdrawal, he was not only thrown out of the chamber, but has been criminally charged. You said you would defend Sid Rosenberg for calling out Biden. Would you do the same for Mr. Nkui? Yes. I'm not actively litigating these days, but I promise here that I will consult with Mr. Nakui's lawyer and help him defend him. He had an absolute constitutional right to yell out his son's name. In fact, not only that, it was the right thing to do. Just as Sid Rosenberg had the absolute constitutional right to yell, says who, when President Biden misstated the number of civilians who actually have been killed in the Gaza. That was the right thing to do. This is a political event. And in a political event, you can't allow just cheers and arrest people who boo. You can't allow friendly questions and then throw out people who ask unfriendly questions. You have to have a politically neutral, ideologically neutral rule. You could have the church rule or the court rule. You could say no comments, no talking, no clapping, no booing. You can do that. That's okay. But what you can't do is say clapping's okay, but booing's not. Friendly questions are okay, but unfriendly questions are not. And you also can't say that Congressman Green can shout out and not be arrested. She can't be arrested because she obviously has an immunity, but that ordinary citizens don't have a First Amendment right. So yes, I will help defend both of them if they decide in Sid's case to bring a lawsuit, and in his case to defend himself against an unconstitutional criminal charge. Professor, I've heard several legal experts say that there's a zero chance Trump can appeal the E. Jean Carroll case out of New York state courts into the federal courts. Do you agree with that opinion? Well, I don't know enough about the case, but generally a state civil case cannot find its way into the federal courts. You have to be alleging a federal constitutional violation that was preserved below in the state court. And I just don't think that that has happened or will happen. So I agree with that analysis. Biden wasn't cognitively compromised when he took these documents. I agree with that. I don't think he's cognitively compromised, as the State of the Union message showed him at his best. And I've known him for 42 years, and you know, it's people get a little older, but forget about that. The issue is not what his cognitive capacity is now or when he was interviewed by her. The issue is what was his cognitive capacity when he held out a piece of classified material and he said to his ghostwriter, I think this is classified, be careful, and I can't read my own handwriting, and handed him the classified material. That's the relevant point of time and the only relevant point of time in which his cognitive capacity is in any way relevant. Okay, one factor in HER's defense is that a DC jury being highly biased by politics would never have convicted Biden. I don't think any political trial should happen in any area where any jury pool is more than 2/3 or more in any direction. That's a good rule, actually. So we come basically to the same conclusion. First of all, if Biden were to be prosecuted, it wouldn't be in the District of Columbia. At least it didn't have to be. He could have brought the case in Delaware. He could have brought the case in Virginia, which is a better jury pool, because apparently some of the displays were in Virginia or wherever else he possessed classified material improperly. So he wouldn't have had to bring it in the District of Columbia. But I agree with your assessment that he would never have been convicted in the District of Columbia. Okay. He says, you are 100% right in erring on the side of stupidity in the case of Mark Ruffalo. He is deeply, deeply stupid. Yeah, but he's also deeply, deeply bigoted. I mean, he is a virulent anti-Zionist, anti-Israel, anti-Semite. He's, you know, he's the Gibson of modern times. And when I saw him wearing that pin with the red hand and the black heart, I wasn't surprised that he would be wearing it. I was very surprised that some other people would be wearing it. And for them, I ascribe it to stupidity. I mean, don't you at least ask a question? You want me to wear a button with what looks like it's possibly a bloody hand and a black heart? That represents peace? That represents ceasefire? I don't get it. Explain it to me. And maybe they would have learned and maybe they wouldn't have agreed. Don't know. So those are the issues. And we'll have to wait and see what happens in Fulton County. I doubt the case will be brought to trial before the election. You know, everybody on television, CNN again, oh, it's the entire strategy of the Trump team to delay, delay, delay. Yeah, that's true. But they never say it's the entire strategy of the people prosecuting Trump to rush, rush, rush. They want to get the case tried and they want to get a down and dirty conviction before the election. All of these cases are on a politically motivated fast track. In fact, Smith says so. He says it's important to get a conviction, to bring these cases, to get a verdict before the election. No, it's not. It's important to have the normal course of events. And the normal course of events, a complicated case like this in the District of Columbia would not come to trial on a speedy schedule to meet his demand that it occur and that there be a verdict before the trial. So CNN, stop only saying that Trump's strategy is delay, delay, delay. It is, but also add that the prosecution strategy is rush, rush, rush. And they are both equally manipulating the system to achieve their desired political result. There's only one difference. The defendant is entitled to do that. Prosecutors are not, under the Justice Department rules. They're not supposed to let political considerations enter into their actions and enter into their decisions and their timing. And I think that we're seeing massive violations of what have been long-term Justice Department policies. And we've seen the results. It hurt Hillary Clinton terribly in the 2016 election. And now it's intended to hurt Trump politically in the 2024 election. Equally wrong in both instances. So the rule of this show, I mean, I can't impose a rule on any of you, my viewers and listeners, but I can impose it on myself. And if I ever violate it, call me on it, is total political neutrality when it comes to our legal system. The same rules have to apply regardless of whether you're Trump or Biden, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, a conservative or a liberal. And there are very few people on either side who really stringently apply that rule. I hope I do it. Maybe I can persuade you to do it. See you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.